Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back once again to another edition of the Come Out of Her My People show. I am your host, Mark Call. We got a special treat today. I got a good friend and not as frequent as I'd like to have him on here, guest on the show, and that is Harmon Taylor of We the People Voluntary Bondage, and he also refers to it as the legal reality, but he's been with us before. Harmon is a former licensed bar attorney who quite a while back decided he'd had enough of that, I guess, and I'll let you comment on that if you'd like a bit too by way of introduction, Harmon. But essentially now he is he's not in that camp anymore. And he has devoted a lot of his attention and time to essentially helping to educate the rest of us about how we get into problems by entering into deals with the devil. And that's the way I would put it. He has another way of noting what the word federal means. But those we've talked about before, Harmon, there are so many things going on today. I figured it was time to update and just kind of kick things off. But let me start with this. How you doing? Good to talk to you.
Things here moving along fine. I appreciate the call. How are things where you are?
Well, it's coming to be winter time. We've got our first we got a big storm coming tonight. I don't know if we'll get any moisture, but we'll get some cold. So that means we got to get all kinds of things indoors and get winterized and so forth. So it's a busy time when the seasons change fast after being so nice for so long.
Yeah, well, in your area, the stores are prepped for it, the people are prepped for it, so at least you ought to have plenty of materials at your ready.
Well, not as many as we do in years past, because as you know, they're destroying the supply chains, trying to destroy the energy infrastructure and so much else. So, on every front, I guess that's a good way to kind of kick things off. So much is going on. I know the last time we talked, I have been saying this for a while, but I think since you and I talked last, I contend the gloves are not only off, but there's just no denying it anymore. There's just no way around it even to suggest that there are not people in the swamp, in the deep state, those who are in positions of power, if not real authority, who want people dead, who want the country destroyed. And they have literally tried to push towards World War III. We're seeing some success on that front. They've got some new fronts open. We're seeing that they have managed to get a complete invasion in progress. It was nasty before, but now for several months, we've been at 10,000 a day coming across the southern border. I have seen numbers coming in of communist Chinese, Taliban, ISIS. Now we got Hezbollah and Hamas and any number of other terrorist groups, MS-13 for quite a while, to the point where there are not just divisions, but battalions and full, you know, how many terror cells do we need of pick a terrorist organization that get bus tickets even or scattered around the country? So on every front, I think it is impossible to argue that there are not truly evil people, traitors, that are trying to destroy the country. And I think so much of what we've seen even in the news this week kind of helps to bear that out. Whether we look at the economic front or, you know, your particular bailiwick, the things that are going on in what used to be called the rule of law.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot changing, and it's changing rapidly. We're not used to it.
And we're going to have to get that way. So let me start out this way. I'll ask a couple questions just to kind of get us started off. When I called and talked to you earlier today and we said, hey, we'll do the show, one of the things that I think was kind of front and center in my mind, at least, was because of the so-called elections this week. We have gotten used to the fact that they're not honest. We've seen since 2016 that they tried to steal it, weren't quite in position to be able to handle the level of landslide that Hillary got smashed by. But when they came to 2020, after having worked for years to literally make sure that Trump couldn't actually do anything, then we had the all-out, no-holds-barred, let's get the guy who never came out of his basement. Everybody knows he's senile. The laptop from hell, they suppressed and lied about that. A whole lot of people committed treason and lied under oath. That would have been called perjury back when we had a rule of law and people cared about things like that. I'm talking about the so-called intelligence officials. officials and their letter that said, pay no attention to that laptop behind the curtain. FBI's had it. You're not going to see it. This week, by the way, we saw the Trannyfesto, the manifesto from the girl that was trying to transition to be a guy, taking testosterone and probably other SSRIs, shot up a school in the South. So on every front, so much has come out that it says these things. But then we had the latest election, and we're told, oh yeah, the usual stuff happened. We had any number of places where people caught them in the act, vote flipping, that were, and they always seem to go in one direction. Isn't that amazing? They go from R to D. And we had people that were stuffing ballot boxes, the usual manipulation and late night chicanery. But anymore, this is just par for the course, and if people talk about it, of course, you might go to the gulag in the swamp, or, you know, you might have your property taken. If you're trying to run for president, you might find that your billions of dollars are taken. What are people to make of this as far as, you know, the courts are concerned? And, let me ask it this way. You, I know, have your finger on the pulse of the legal understanding. What should the average people out there begin to realize at this point when it comes to the rule of law? Is it dead? Is there anything left of it? You know, are they going to kill people before they get a chance to go through four levels of appeals courts and, you know, get redress of grievance? What do we make of all of that?
It's I think it's fair to say that we're in an onslaught of political how do I want to phrase this? We'll just call it the agenda.
Yep, narrative.
It's a globalist agenda, and the activity comes down to this. The government always gets to kick first.
Okay.
We've seen all kinds of outrages, and we have a fascinating circumstance of growth of organizations in the position of organizing the legal part of their activity and being an organization that has standing in court to take these things on, and law firms that take on, and organizations, lawyers with organizations, taking on issues to stop the tide of this onslaught of all this new stuff coming down.
So you're talking about
it
the good guys.
It is new stuff.
In this case, you're actually talking about some good guys in this case, people that are trying to kick back after the government has kicked them a few times.
Lots and lots of good guys. We don't know the number of we hear about some of them, but we don't know the number of organizations that have legal counsel that are helping people at the local level against this barrage of new stuff coming out of Washington.
Well, that's encouraging for sure.
And it is very encouraging, and some of the organizations are financed well enough to be able to expand their staffs and their space to have staff to take on more and more of these cases. I mean, of course, we know about Judicial Watch, and I'm talking about organizations at that level with that manpower and commitment to engage the debate in court. So we see an increase in the response legally. We're seeing, I call it experimental simply because we've never seen it before. It's not really experimental in the sense that everyone knows that the government gets to kick first. So this policy comes out, that policy comes out, this statute, that regulation, and it's nonsense. But to put it to bed, it has to be challenged right now. There's a way to do it. There's a process for it, and we have more and more of this challenge activity going on in the way of slowing down the experiment in the way of statute and regulations. Okay. It's I'm just going to call it unprecedented. What they've done to President Trump is unprecedented.
You get,
what
yeah.
They're doing in the area of just opening the floodgate to advance – the political agenda through the appearance of agency activity or statutory activity. It's never happened before. And so at the end of the day, there's nothing different about the process. There's nothing different about it. But there's a difference. What's the difference? The amount of activity, the number of sources of improperly based authority being challenged. The number of it is, we've just never seen it before.
Well, I agree. And
activity.
I think that's encouraging, like you said, and it's nice to know that there are these legal challenges. I guess the concern that I have, and I'll throw this out as far as the discussion point, it seems like when you look at the urgency of some of the things, for example, the invasion, and that's the only word that I think is appropriate at the southern border, the invasion of literally millions at this point of illegals coming across. How many of them are outright terrorists or affiliated? We know a lot of them, a huge percentage, are military-aged young men, and how many of them will come in and commit acts of terror? Are they waiting for the signal? Are they just waiting for the general breakdown? Are they waiting for the word to be given out of the swamp when the stock market melts down or the banking system collapses? And we're seeing moves on that front every day, too. In other words, I have a concern that before some of these legal cases get to the point of kicking back far enough, we're simply going to see the pin pulled on the grenade, and they're going to say, okay, come on, Hamas, come on, Hezbollah, come on, CCP, PLA, pull out the plugs and drop the power grid, drop the water grid, raise hell, and let people know just how bad it really is. It's the grid is very vulnerable. There are so many things that could be destroyed so quickly. I think that's just one of the elements that Americans are kind of clueless about.
We're not focused on it anything like enough. There's, unless we're in an armed and trained unit, we're not going to be in a position to defend those vulnerabilities.
Okay, that's a good point.
Against what? Against the attack that you just described. That's a military mission.
Yep. Well,
and unless we're in that, and it might be law enforcement, but chances are good we're talking about armed forces and National Guard.
Yeah, and I guess.
And there's.
All I was going to say was I think you're exactly right, and my concern is that it can't be defended against to the extent that all that needs to happen is some people actually start to push back. And they say, okay, well, rather than letting that happen and, you know, getting the National Guard called out and shutting down the border and starting to stem the tide, well, we'll just pull the plug now. And what that means is that you're right. We can't defend against the vulnerabilities. So those that are paying attention need to be aware of the vulnerabilities and just say, you know, when the grid goes down, I need to not die. When the water gets shut off, I need to not die. And when the invaders come, I need to make sure that at least we can defend our neighborhood or our farm and our community or whatever the case may be. Go ahead.
That's you're talking practical reality. Some of it we're just not going to be able to prevent. And so what do? We check into generators. We check into water storage. We check into canned and dry foods and things that allow us to persist without our normal expectation of electricity coming in.
Okay. Well,
and
we got
it is that I'm just going to describe as some other things, which is a wicked paradigm shift.
You bet. Well, and that's usually what we end up talking about one way or the other when you and I get together and do this show is the wicked paradigm shift. And since we almost always end up there, let me do this. Let me back up just a bit because we got to some of the conclusion sooner than I was intending to. You mentioned the onslaught of a political agenda. New world order, call it what you want. Literally, lawfare is a term that's been used. The fact that, for example, what's being done to Trump is not just unprecedented. I guess if there's a word that sticks out to me, it's obscene. It's insane. There are several words, and I don't know that any of them quite go far enough as describing, you know, that scumbag Engoron, Jack Smith, what's happening in New York. These people are just plain unhinged. And if you see some of the things that this so-called judge said, said in open court. And basically, he told Trump when he was testifying the other day, hey, we don't want these long answers. I don't give a blankety blank. I don't care what you have to say. That's not why we're here. That's not why I'm here. You know, we're here because you're guilty, and we're going to basically just be on TV and show that. You get the impression that about all they're arguing about is he going to be beheaded with a guillotine or a slow cut with a pocket knife?
Well, we get enough injustice in this manner, and there's no way anything produced in the trial court can withstand review.
That's true, and that's a good point that you almost always make. So, and honestly, here's the thing, Harmon. I know when we've talked before, you talk about reversible error and things that basically can be used to say, okay, we'll take this to the appeals court. This is so reversible and so obscene. You know, this judge had no business even being allowed to sit here. He's a nutcase. He hates the guy, and it's clear. And so, you know, if we even had a first couple of levels of court that even pretended to be honest, I can't imagine this ever having been brought to this point. And that's the thing I think that people are shaking their heads about. And by the way, I guess that's the good news. Those that are watching and paying attention are saying, whoa, what's happened here to this legal system, at least in New York and maybe in Florida and some of these other places where these sham trials are in place. They look like Soviet Stalinist Russia.
Yeah, and I don't know. I've never really participated in court in China or Russia. We see some movie depictions of it, but at the end of the day, I don't know that even they would be what we're being introduced to here. Let's put this into a little bit larger perspective for just a minute or two. The objective is to have everything regarding government looks so bad that it needs a savior. And
okay.
So they create the problem. We've talked about this. They create the problem, and then they provide the solution. And so when what is in the mind of the people, and it is one very, very off the mean, off the norm example that we're getting there. That's not how courts are run. Okay, this is a
outlier.
Made for TV comic strip.
Yeah.
And we have to overplay the character because that's how comic strips are written. And so that's what's happening with the intent. And we see the anti-police activity. We see the, now we're going to get the anti-judicial activity, and every piece of government is going to end up with some example of how can this be, how can it be this bad? Surely this isn't right. And so we have these horrible, extreme examples that are written by, I don't know that it's Hollywood, I'm going to say written by Hollywood scripts, okay, to produce this image that just basically destroys the credibility of the system for the next step purpose of, oh, here we are, we're going to ride in on our white stallions. You know, there's no such thing as white. All horses that are white are gray.
Okay.
At any rate, they're right in on their white stallion and put all of this to right and get rid of all of that.
Well,
but it will be at the expense of all other normal concepts that we have about government. So you want to get rid of that? Great. You're now part of the globalist establishment, and we'll get rid of that problem, but now you can't do this. You can't do that.
It'll be worse.
You can't do this, other. You can't think for yourself. You can't speak for yourself. If you want money, you're going to do it our way, on our time period. You know, 12, 15, 18 hour days to get your 30 cents for the day sort of thing. I'm exaggerating to make the point.
Well, it's no law. It'll be next week.
Destroy,
what sounds like an exaggeration today is old hat. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, it's fine. The objective is to destroy the credibility of the system, and they're just doing it systematically. Not all focus here, not all focus there. Take a focus, destroy it. Take a new focus, destroy it. Take a new focus, destroy it. And that's what we're seeing playing out right now.
Well, you're right.
And so basically what do we respond to with? We say, well, we know this is a comic strip. We know this is totally fiction. We know that there's an agenda here, and I don't know when you want to get into the scriptural side of it, but I'll just mention real quickly that this system is not long for this world.
I agree.
I don't know how far they'll get.
Well, I think you're
just
right.
Just have peace of mind. This one ain't going to last.
Well, and that's exactly correct, and we'll come back. I think we want to get there in the next segment for sure, as we usually are inclined to do. But I like the way you phrased it. Take a focus here and destroy it. You know, take a look at the court system. Now, pick a comic strip character, and this guy Engeron is about as comical as it gets, although he's kind of more like a Bond villain character. Wait a minute, we got plenty of those from the World Economic Forum and other places too. Take a focus and destroy it. Well, we saw the election system. They have destroyed the credibility of fair and honest elections. I mean, it literally, you hear those words, it's a joke. It's like safe and effective vaccines that destroy your immune system and, you know, sterilize you and your kids and your heart, too. So on every front, you're right. Take a focus, destroy. Take a focus, destroy. Although I think you're right. We're going to see what happens when the creator of the universe says I've had enough. I can't help but think, though, that when I looked at the things that have gone on just in the last couple of weeks, like with the election system, and I say it's so fake, it's so rigged, it's so hideously comic strip that I don't believe anybody with half a brain could accept that this is what we're seeing, and it's related to actual vote counts. So I couldn't help but remember the John F. Kennedy quote, and this is one that I really like. He said, obviously 50-plus years ago, those who would make a peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable. And I can't help but think, Harmon, that, you know, the idea with the attack on the legal system, what they're doing with Trump to make a cartoon example of, we're going to just show you what a Soviet-style state can do. We're going to take away all his stuff. We're going to prevent any honest election. We're going to even preclude candidates that are worth anything from being in there. And so what's the result? Get people so disgusted that they say a pox on all their houses and I want nothing to do with it. And to some extent, that's not bad. But to the extent that they're pushing towards civil war, that's the thing that concerns me. And I think that's where we'll focus after the break. Let me go ahead and let you comment as we go to the bottom of the hour here. Whoops. Did we lose Harmon?
We did.
Okay.
Was that on my end or yours?
Well, you're back now. Go ahead. Did you hear my question?
I did not. I was sending you a note to say I've got total silence here.
Okay. I think you just disconnected for a minute. Well, basically, I quoted the JFK quote, which you probably remember, those who would make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable. And my concern that what they're doing with the legal system, with the voting, rigging, and so forth, is just to try to convince people that violent revolution is what they're jonesing for. They're methodically closing down every other option. And it seems like day by day they're working hard, and they may eventually get it. Go ahead.
What we have to do is not bite that bait.
Got it. Yep.
They're going to do all kinds of things to try to get the radical part of this country to show up armed to resist something that they think needs to be resisted with arms, and that will be the wrong thing for us to do. That's the only thing they need as an excuse to drop the hammer.
Well, and
if we, you know, self-defense is one thing. That they can't do anything about. But when we show up in squadrons, when we show up in, you know, large groups, organized groups, ready to take on this and that, that's when we're gonna really taste the reality of the practical limit of the Second Amendment.
Right, and I not only agree, I think that's exactly what we saw with the so-called insurrection that was in fact a false flag, a setup, and they did manage to get a few people to take the bait, and even a lot of those that didn't, they threw them in the gulag anyway. Well, that takes us to the bottom of the hour break. We'll pick it up there right after we get back. Stay with us.
But the devil's hound. Whose side are you on?
So come out of her, oh my people, for the time has come to judge Babylon. So come out of her. Has come to judge Babylon. For her sins have reached unto the heavens.
Welcome back now to the second segment of the Come Out of Her, My People show. I'm your host, Mark Call, and today we're talking with guest Harmon Taylor, who has a background in law and understanding the legal reality of where we are and how we got here, and most importantly, what we need to do to avoid the entrapment. And that's actually where we were at the bottom of the hour. I had asked a question about the JFK quote concerning peaceful revolution, and my concern that the real goal here seems to be on every front to try to push people and push people. And as Harmon said, it's like comic strip characters, how cartoonish these things are, or Bond villains. They're going to try to say, hey, you know, you got no legal recourse. Remember the old bumper sticker, four boxes in a free society, soap, ballot, jury, and cartridge, used in that order? Well, they've pretty well systematically gotten rid of those boxes. We're seeing the attack against the last one. We had the ballot box pretty well gang raped in the last couple days again. And now the Second Amendment is also under attack. The whole concept of the right to keep and bear arms and so forth, and we've talked about that before. So Harmon correctly said, don't take the bait. Particularly, don't go out into some of these large groups and allow, as happened in the January 6th incitement, where the false flag, the agents provocateurs, the agents, and confidential human sources all got in the crowd. They literally fired stun grenades. You're not going to be allowed to see the footage. It is available online. But ultimately, don't take the bait is a really great way to put it. There are some other things we need to be aware of too, Harmon, as far as the right to self-defense and the proper use of defensive of firearms, or, well, let's say, projectile-based self-defense weapons and so forth. We need to understand the legal terminology and the legal basis and not get tripped up and tricked. But go ahead. I know that's where you were headed.
Yeah, you've encapsulated it. We've got to be aware that exactly what you're describing, we're just being pushed on all fronts, and we have to understand that we are in a comic book setting. Everything is going to be exaggerated in order to provoke a response. And what we have to understand is they're writing the comic book for us to get trapped in. And where we understand that it has to be fiction, the only way you get characters that are that insane is in the comic book. And it's just to focus on this characteristic or that characteristic as we see in the comic book setting. So where we realize that everything is exaggerated in order to provoke the response, then we're in a little bit better position to have peace of mind about it. To just say, I'm not going to be provoked.
Yeah.
I'm just not going there today.
That's a good point.
And
I guess
when we
go ahead.
When we withstand that long enough, they're gonna run out of money to do what they're doing.
Well, they keep printing it, but ultimately what's going to happen is people are going to quit taking it, and we're getting pretty close to the point where the almighty dollar collapses. The BRICS are doing a good job, at least they're doing an acceptable job on that front, providing an alternative and pointing out that the emperor doesn't have any fiat bucks either. He's naked and can't keep printing forever. So let's go to this other case. We've kind of alluded to it, and certainly one of the things that the Biden-Fuhrer has not completely accomplished yet is the disarmament. They're pushing on so many fronts. We've seen yet another false flag attack. This one was almost comic book style too, up in Maine. And you know, how many of these do you have to see before you say, come on, haven't we seen this all play out before? Anyway, now the Supreme Court is taking what they call another high-profile case having to do with the Second Amendment. It's called U.S. v. Rahimi. And it has to do with a fellow who was under a domestic violence restraining order. And the question is, and they pick a particularly scummy guy, and they always do, to say, here's the case. Here's a guy who likes to kill people and shoot off guns and probably wants to use firearms to do all kinds of evil stuff. But he's under a domestic violence restraining order. Is that good enough to allow us to infringe the hell out of the Constitution? Never mind that there are people who are under domestic violence restraining orders that haven't had a day in court, just like the red flag orders. No, they're going to pick somebody really awful. So I think it's kind of funny. The line that I know that every lawyer is aware of is hard cases make bad law. So here they pick a particularly nasty case, take it before the Supreme Court and say, hey, is this guy bad enough that we can put a restraining order against him? Does that violate the Second Amendment? Let's see if we can't squeeze the court and get them to say, oh, yes, there are places where, domestic violent extremists, isn't that what all Americans are? They don't have a right to keep and bear arms. Anyway, your comments, Harmon. This is an interesting one, and it's going to be contentious, I'm sure.
It already is. It is part of the agenda that they're going to play a very difficult time overcoming. The focus, obviously, on disarmament confesses why the Japanese didn't invade America.
Yep.
And we don't know. You mean you've heard that, right?
Oh, yeah. Rifle behind every blade of glass. Blade of grass.
Yeah, everybody's armed. The entire community is armed. The entire nation is armed. So we're not just up against the army. We're up against the entire citizenry. And they didn't think that was a sufficiently soft enough target to come in. Okay. This is the disarmament is the cry of the tyrant. And we see throughout history, which isn't really being repeated, except we have to go look for it and you can find it. The societies that were disarmed became subject to tyranny in pretty short order.
Yep.
That's what they have to, that's what they're going for. They've read history. They know that for so long as we are in a position to defend ourselves at that level, that it's going to be very, very costly, and it's going to be more costly than they're going to want to invest.
And for that reason.
And so every.
Oh, I was just going to add, if you hadn't seen the information, they actually came in, and there's more and more that comes out about it. More and more IDF people, retired generals and high-ranking officers in the IDF said they actually went in and they disarmed some of those kibbutzim south of Gaza prior to the who could have possibly imagined it was going to happen, especially if we took our people out of the area and shut down our monitoring posts and just pretended we didn't see for 7 hours or so and let Hamas come in and do their thing. But they had pre-disarmed the people there that they were being set up as literally the blood offering.
Well, so one more extremely contemporary example of the point. How much of what happened in Vietnam and Cambodia would have happened if those people had been armed and could have defended themselves? I mean, it's just one example. How much of any of the grand massacres that we hear about would have happened if the people had been armed? And they may have still died, but they would have taken some of the opposition with them.
Yep. And we're
and all I'm.
Oh, go ahead. We got the lag.
So anyway,
again.
we've got to realize that they're very intent on it, and they've got to realize that they're up against long-standing policy, what the Supremes have talked about quite self-consistently, I'm just going to say forever, is that their perspective on what is and what isn't a protected right depends on what was recognized at the time of the founding of this country. What's the difference? The difference is if it existed then it's going to be solidly recognized. If it's not recognized then, for example, the automobile, then what? It's a lot more subject to commercial nexus distraction. Let me describe that. We can right now, according to current policy, be disarmed in our automobiles. Why? Because they're vehicles. The use of a vehicle is regulated. That's called the Transportation Code. And therefore, we didn't have automobiles at the time of the foundation of the country. And so that setting is possible to regulate commercially. And this is where we've been entrapped into agreeing to being regulated under transportation authority, commercial authority, even though we're never in commercial activity. It's a consent-based thing. And so this is the difference. If it existed back then, it's going to be very difficult, very difficult. We see this in the Heller case in Washington, D.C. There's a right to have the weapons in the house. I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Yep.
And why? Because it's always been that way, and nothing about that municipality ordinance, the D.C. ordinance, could seduce the existence of an agreement. I'm pretty sure that's the Heller case. Whatever case it is, I'm pretty sure that's the one. We cannot be seduced through consent through a municipal ordinance to be disarmed in our homes. It's just not going to happen. Why not? We've got a right. We have a right. It pre-exists the foundation of this nation. Okay, so the Supremes are going here with the legal philosophy, the political philosophy of the setting, to talk about disarmament. And they say, okay, well, what was the setting at the foundation of the country? And some people say, well, how can we possibly know? Well, to me, it's an obvious answer. If it wasn't regulated then, it can't be regulated now. What about this weapon? What about that weapon? All of this stuff is new. Well, how specific do you want to characterize it? Is it a projectile-based self-defense system? You see, and this is where we get into the semantics. Oh, well, it's not that. It's this other. And we can regulate this other because we can put the label on it. Be very careful about the labels.
Yeah, well, so this
I have a projectile-based self-defense system.
So that's why
there
I think
we have it.
That's why this is such a clever and I would say satanically evil case, because what they're saying is, oh look, well, did they have domestic violence at the time of the founding era? Oh, certainly. Of course, you know, we didn't care about it then because these were white males and they were just plain evil, you know, so they didn't care about this. But they're going to try to say, oh look, we have had this long-standing disarmament policy for anybody that is accused, and that's what I'm going to emphasize, even accused of so-called domestic violence. Well over half of the states, we've got this new uniform policy that says all that somebody's got to do is dial 911. In a lot of states, the cops will come. They will make an arrest. That's Colorado. They will make an arrest. Doesn't matter. Somebody called 911. Somebody's going to go to jail. Guess what? Somebody is almost certainly going to lose their right to keep and bear arms if they ever had one anyway, because we're going to declare that somebody might have hit somebody. Somebody might have yelled at somebody. That's all it takes. We don't have to prove it in a court of law. All we got to do is just institute a restraining order. And in the case of Colorado law and about a dozen other states that I've heard about, it's automatic. And the presumption is we issue the order first, like Trump said, take the guns away first, worry about legal precedents, worry about the law later. Go ahead, Armin. I'm curious as to how you look at that.
This is one example of this barrage of policy that we really haven't had to deal with before, that the government gets to kick first.
Yep.
It's nuts. They're going to implement their policy, compel us into court, and if their timing is such as they want it to be, then all of the litigation is going on while they're accomplishing their result by doing what is otherwise illegal.
Well,
it doesn't. The fact that we're compelled into court doesn't mean they're not going to go ahead and do it.
You got it. Let me give you an example. I don't know if you saw this one or not. I saw this and it just absolutely was stunning, but shouldn't surprise us. And I'm going to compare and connect a couple of cases. We have a guy in Arizona that had illegals that were coming across his property and threatening him and his wife. They felt that their lives were in danger. Eventually he shot and killed one of them. Whether he did it on purpose or fired a warning shot, I would contend is immaterial. The point is they charged the guy with murder one and they're going after him with tongs. So you're right. They're going to kick sick first. They may kill him even, but they've sent a message. Hey, you people in Arizona, don't you dare think you have a right to defend your property against somebody coming across there and killing your cattle or maybe raping your wife. If they do it inside the house, maybe you can get away with killing them. But if they're out in the yard and they're just, taking your animals and killing them in front of you and threatening you with a rifle. Well, anyway, here's the connection, Harmon. We had a case in Texas where, as you may have heard, the Border Patrol was cutting the fences. And so the Texas, governor of Texas and the attorney general down there, Paxton, they sued the Biden-Fuhrer, and they said, hey, you guys quit cutting our fences. You're supposed to defend the border, not cut our fences and let the illegals come in. And so they went to court. They lost. And the judge said, you can't do that. You can't be cutting those fences. You can't be doing this. You can't be destroying the property of Texas. And guess what they did? The Border Patrol, at the orders of the Biden-Fuhrer, came in. They brought forklifts, and they raised up the razor wire to let the illegals go under. And in one case, they smashed it down. So they said, ha-ha, see, aren't we clever? You got a court ruling. We say, the hell with that court. We're going to do something different. Sue us again. And, ultimately, this is my concern, Harmon. You're right. They kick first. They lose in court. They kick again. And then they ignore the court order.
Yeah, that's what we're up against. Let me know when you want to get into the scriptural side so we can get to peace of mind. We may have talked about this before, and it doesn't matter. We can talk about it a hundred times.
Let's talk about it now.
Because we need to.
That's the key thing. I will contend, and that's the point of the show, of course, come out of her, my people, right? We know that it's a crooked system. We know that it's rigged. Come out of Sodom. We know that they came in the messengers, the Malachim, the angels came and got Lot and his daughters, took them out of Sodom. I contend that they were able to find one at least semi-righteous man in Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm not sure about the swamp or San Francisco or Chicago anymore. So, for those of us that know better, we got to get out of Sodom. But you got more. Go ahead.
The invasion that we're experiencing is identified in Scripture as locusts.
Okay.
We see the example of this in the 13 signs and wonders regarding Pharaoh and Egypt in the Exodus.
Okay.
Well, what did the locusts do? The land got smacked with all the hail. And there wasn't a whole lot left in the way of foodstuffs. And here come these locusts and eat every single thing that's left from the hailstorm. The purpose of the locust is to eat of the substance of the land. Now, here's the thing. They're brought in with one wind and then removed from the land by another wind. We're just seeing the locust coming in. They will be subject to another wind. They will be leaving.
Okay, that's good. That's comforting.
I can't tell you when. I can tell you that it's my hope that it's soon.
Yeah.
But it's part and parcel of the judgment, and they're gonna accomplish the purpose that the locust is supposed to accomplish. It will be accomplished. So we just hang in there long enough for that to happen.
Well,
they will be removed.
I think that's a great point. Let me add one element to your analogy. I am one of these that believes that we're going to see literally a set of bookends, open bracket, close bracket, open parenthesis, close parenthesis. We saw the original plagues and wonders in the time of the Exodus. We've been promised a greater Exodus, so I think we're going to see another set of them, so I'm with you there. But it was interesting to me that the first few plagues, up until about 3 into 4, by the numbering scheme, the plagues were literally visited upon all of Egypt, the whole land, and that included the people that were later going to be part of the Exodus, the mixed multitude. However, by the time we get to the hail, what we see is that people were starting to listen to Moses, and he said, there's going to be nasty hail and fire and ice and things like you ain't never seen before, never seen in the land before. Better bring all your animals and your people, bring them indoors. And what the scripture tells us is there's a lot of folks were listening. They said, when Moses speaks, you better pay attention. So they did. So they were not hurt by the hail, and certainly that was true of the people that were in the land of Goshen and those that were paying attention. So the later plagues, essentially, he drew a distinction. And I think this is another element of comfort. They were not affected by the plagues. The people who were his, who were in the process, they hadn't come out yet, but they were getting ready to, and they were spared most of the impacts. I know there were some real nastiness associated with them, and they certainly had to, when he said, stay indoors, don't go outside, during the time of the Pesach, the Passover, they had to pay attention and do that. So I think we need to be paying attention, but we can take heed and comfort in the fact that there'll be a separation that he will make if we're watching and paying attention and listening.
Yes, excellent point, and just to throw this in, our contemporary blood on the doorpost is the circumcised heart.
All right.
The circumcised heart and the disciplined mind are what is going to carry us through.
I agree with you, and I will contend that one of the evidences, if you want to put it that way, of the circumcised heart is obedience. If you love me, keep my commandments.
It helps.
Those who are his will walk in his ways.
Yes. do our dead level best to get it right. We're not going to get it all right, but if we're trying and sincerely trying to get it right, he recognizes that.
Well, and we can ask for guidance, and he'll give us the guidance, too. One of the things I found years ago that's really helpful is pray for two or three witnesses, right? I got this question. Can I do this or can I do – what should I do, Father? Well, give me two or three witnesses. And I have found that if you ask, he will, in fact, give you those two or three witnesses, and it'll be clear when you see the second or third witness.
Yes, good for you. That's the process when we're – we just do what David did. Why did God interact with David so successfully? Because David always asked, say, what do you want me to do now? And
yeah.
He would engage the discussion. He would always run it by his king first. It's a perfect example. We got to communicate.
Yeah. Well, and we see the one or two times where David failed, and they were outlined explicitly in Scripture, were the times that he was called out for it. But he had one other thing going for him, too, that we can take a lesson from. When he was told by the prophet Nathan, right, that little example of the sheep, and this guy had just one little sheep, and somebody came and took his sheep, and he says, that man should die. And Nathan looks at him and says, you are the man. And, you know, did he pull on Obama and say, no, that wasn't me, that was the guy before me? No, David fell on his face. And he said, you're right, and I ain't never going to do that again. And I am more than willing to take whatever punishment he has for me. So there are a lot of examples. I think this is a great way to start to wrap up. Harmon, we got about a minute and a half or so left. What else would you say as we look at the disgusting stuff going on and say, you know, this is really ugly. We know it's going to get worse, at least for the country, before it gets better, because we seem to make Sodom and Gomorrah look kind of tame. What else have you got for us by way of pay attention, be watchful?
The revelation tells us that God is going to reveal himself through the four horsemen. What are the four horsemen? War, famine, pestilence, disease, plague, pestilence, and the beast system. God is revealing his sovereignty by showing us all of the judgments. That's what we're in right now. Judgment has its place. Judgment ends.
That's a good point. Okay.
So here we are. I mean, it just...
Oops, did we lose you again?
So that's it. No, I'm here. I'm going to let you have last word.
Well, we're breaking up. So, yeah, we've got about 10 seconds left. Let me say this. Hey, I very much appreciate you being on. Always great to talk with you. And I hope people will be paying attention because this is a time to be very, very watchful. So thanks again, Harmon. As always, I enjoyed it. And Shabbat Shalom, folks. And for those who would like to download the podcast, I did include a few minutes extra because Harmon and I talked for a bit after we finished the live portion of the show, and we both hope you might find that to be a blessing as well. It'll be up on HebrewNationOnline.com. Thanks, Shabbat Shalom, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.